So now I get to introduce an amazing mother, homeschooling mother, that I've known for many years. Her name is Rimini Esser. She is married to a loving and supportive husband, and together they have 7 wonderful kids, ages 6 through 24. She has been homeschooling for 20 years, with 1 college graduate, 1 currently in college, and 1 soon to be in the fall, all at Thomas Aquinas College. Between homeschooling, housework, and her kids' sports, she has managed, with God's grace, to help organize both the prom and graduation for our homeschooling students. Thank you. Rimini is also happily serving our community as co-president of the Southern California Catholic Home Educators. Today, she welcomes you into the joyful and rewarding journey of homeschooling. She is attentive and caring and will address your questions and concerns as you discern God's call to homeschool your children. Let's give a warm welcome to Rimini.
Hello, everyone. If you can please join me in praying another prayer to the Come Holy Spirit prayer. Let's bow our heads and just take a moment of silence and raise our hearts and mind to God and ask Him to send the Holy Spirit down to us as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's also ask for Mary's intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay, welcome everyone to the Introduction to Homeschool Talk. I'm just curious, how many of you here are here today because of the pandemic last year? Okay, I liked how Laura referred to all of you as COVID refugees who have been introduced to a better way of life. Some of you might be here because your child may be having some academic or social issues in school, or others of you may be here because someone in your life has been nudging you to homeschool and you're finally here checking it out. But I know that God has brought each and every single one of you here for a reason. And please know that as I prepared for this talk, I've been praying for each and every single one of you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help calm your fears, give you encouragement and confidence to help you get started to homeschool. Did you know that before the pandemic, in 2019, there were already over 2.5 million children being homeschooled in the U.S.? It's really not so uncommon anymore, and if you tell someone that you're homeschooling, you no longer get those weird looks that I used to get 20 years ago. In fact, recently I've been fortunate and have run into people who are amazed that I'm homeschooling and even happy to hear that I'm homeschooling. And I think this is because homeschooled children are doing well. They're doing well academically and they're doing well socially. Statistically, they have shown to score above average on the SATs and the ACTs, and they usually score about 30% higher than public school kids. Many homeschoolers go on to college and do well. And homeschooled kids who are now adults, statistics have shown that they are more active in their community, in community service, they vote more frequently, and they also take on the same values and beliefs as their parents, which I know is what many of us want. For us Catholics, homeschooling has been very good in helping religious vocations. The Catholic Herald a couple years ago published an article that said that for every 10 men who are studying for the priesthood, at least one of them was homeschooled. So let me share with you one theory why I think homeschooling has had such good outcome. If you can please think of a greenhouse, think of a small seedling with fragile roots. What does that gardener usually do with that small seedling? He puts it in a greenhouse. He nourishes it and helps it establish stronger roots. And once those roots are established, it becomes a mature plant, able to withstand the outside elements of the rays of the sun, the wind, and the rain. Well, homeschooling is like this greenhouse effect. We keep our kids at home. We nourish their minds. We nourish their souls. We help them to develop strong relationships with good people, with their parents, with their family members, and with God, and also with their community. And then when it's time to go out into society, they aren't knocked down. In fact, they're able to withstand the negative pressures that society has today. Many homeschoolers become good citizens. They know how to identify what is good, what is true. Many of them speak well, are engaged with others, and are kind persons. If you want this for your children, I'm here today to give you the tools to help you get started, to build your greenhouse, and to nourish your child to be the person who God wants him or her to be. So let's first get through all the legal stuff. I have a handout that says homeschool options in California. If you can please pull that handout out. In California, once a child is age 6, on or before September 1st, that child must be enrolled in school. So if your child turns 6 last year, September 2nd, through this, or any time last year through September 2nd, through this year, through September 1st, that child needs to be enrolled this fall for the 2021-2022 school year. In fact, all kids ages 6 through 18 must be enrolled in public school unless exempted. However, in California, there are exemptions for private schools. The California Department of Education, Education Code 48222, you can look this up, says children who are instructed in a private school, full-time day school, by persons who are capable of teaching shall be exempted from enrolling in public school. So I'm going to repeat that. Children instructed in a private full-time day school by persons capable of teaching shall be exempted from enrolling in public school. So this is how we can homeschool legally in California. If you look out at your handout, on row 1, number 1, it says Private Satellite Program, PSP. These are considered private schools. And some examples are Seton Homeschool, Mother Divine Grace, Colby Academy, and Queen of Heaven Academy. There are also many, many more, and you can search the internet to find them. On your handout, we'll give you more detail of each one. And if you would like to enroll, you simply just go online. Another way that you can homeschool is by becoming your own private school. Anyone in California can declare their own home as a private school by filing your own private school affidavit. Okay, and then how do you do this? Well, between October 1st or 15th is the filing period. However, anyone who decides to start a school throughout the school year can also still file. You can look on the HSLDA website on how to file a private school affidavit. HSLDA stands for Homeschool Legal Defense Association. They're a nonprofit organization that offers legal protection to homeschoolers if you sign up for their membership. They have done an outstanding job to fight and to protect the freedom of homeschoolers in our country. And on their website, you will find filing instructions for the private school affidavit. And you will find sample letters that you can use if you need to withdraw your child from a school. And there's also an article on how to withdraw your child from California schools. I highly recommend that you, if you do decide to homeschool this fall and your child is still enrolled in school, please withdraw that child from that school before the school year begins, and do not wait so that your child will not be marked absent or truant by the state. Noticed when I read the private school education code, it said merely children need to be instructed by persons capable of teaching. Nowhere did it say that they had to have a California teaching credential. So you can enroll your child in a PSP or file your own private school affidavit and not have and you don't have to have a teaching credential and still legally homeschool in California. A third way that you can homeschool is by hiring a private tutor who does have a California teaching credential. Now, many of us homeschoolers don't do this because, one, it's kind of costly probably to hire a tutor full-time. Because I think on the education code for that, it says the tutor must be teaching at least 3 hours a day for 175 days a year, providing instruction to your child. But if you do decide to go this way, you don't need to file a private school affidavit. The fourth option is to enroll your child in a public charter school or an independent study for homeschoolers. Examples of this are Granite Mountain, Sage Oaks, Springs Charter School. And the advantages of this is you have a lot of resources, and also you have an accountability. You have to check in with the teacher. It depends on the charter school, how often. In the past, many parents have used this route and have been able to freely use their curriculum that they choose to. But more and more, the charter schools are putting limits on parents. And so if you choose this route, I highly, highly caution you and just know the limitations that are being put on parents in terms of what curriculum you can use. For the new Catholic homeschool mom, I really highly recommend going with a PSP. It offers a lot of guidance and support. I'm going to give you an example of the guidance and support. Many years ago when I was a new homeschooling mom, I was enrolled in a PSP, and at that time I had a fourth grader, and I had several other kids, probably even a baby at that time. And we were going through construction in our house, and it was just chaos. But I continued to do school, and I would send my son upstairs to do his schoolwork because there was too much going on downstairs. And then one day, I found out that he cheated on his math homework, and I was furious. Thank goodness that at that time, because I was enrolled in a PSP, I had the guidance and support of a consultant who I was required to speak to at least 3 or 4 times a year. And she told me, "Did you leave the answer key available to him?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Rimini, if there is an easy road and a hard road, what would you take?" And I said, "Yeah, I know, the easy road." So It was really good to have the wisdom of that consultant, and this is what PSPs can offer you. If you file your own affidavit, I highly recommend that you seek out a veteran mom to help mentor you or just surround yourself with a lot of homeschoolers. As you decide which option is best for you, it's good to always go back and remember why you're homeschooling. Another thing to consider is also what educational philosophy will work for you and for your child. And as you decide which one, think about what things that excite you and what things excite for your excite and interest your child. Once you figure out which educational philosophy you would like to use, it really can help be a compass for you as you navigate through the many, many resources and curriculum out there for homeschoolers. So I'm just going to briefly list a few educational philosophies. One is the traditional school, and this is using mainly textbooks and workbooks, and it's probably what most of us experienced when we were being educated in school. And it's fine to start off with this, and maybe if this is what you're more comfortable with. And as you get started, you'll find other different educational philosophies. And as a homeschooling mom, you have the freedom, or you know what, I'm going to stop saying homeschooling mom, I'm sorry. My daughter, when I was practicing this, she kept saying, stop saying homeschooling mom, there's homeschooling dads out there too. So okay, I'm going to say as a homeschooler, you always will have the freedom to change, and that's the beauty of homeschooling. Another educational philosophy is the classical education, and this focuses on three stages of learning: grammar, logic, rhetoric. It's heavy in literature and history and the arts, and the goal is to help a child to think, analyze, and communicate effectively. Unit studies is another thing that homeschoolers use, and this will focus on one theme that covers several different subjects. For example, you can study about ancient Egypt, and you can look at the geography of Egypt and of Africa. You can look at the history, of course. You can use it for science and look at how mummies were made. Or you can also incorporate architecture and religion with it. So again, unit studies is using one theme and incorporating many subjects under that one theme. There's also the Charlotte Mason educational philosophy, which is based on its founder, Charlotte Mason, who lived in the late 1800s. And her belief was educating the whole child and not just their mind. She used and encouraged the use of living books, which a living book is a book written by an author passionate about their subject and is typically more engaging and interesting for the child to read. The focus with this educational philosophy is literature, arts, and nature study. Unschooling is another way that some homeschoolers educate their children, and unschooling is more like allowing the child to lead the way based on their interests, and here the parent is more of like a facilitator as opposed to a teacher. But as you become more and more, as you have more and more years under your belt, I guess, many homeschooling moms become more eclectic. That's a word that you'll hear in the homeschooling world. And that's using a mixture of different philosophies and curriculums and resources. Usually, as you go through the years of homeschooling, you'll soon discover what works for you and what doesn't work. In your handout, I have, in your other handout, I have listed I have put a link to an article on a summary of different homeschool philosophies with resources right underneath them. You know, I know it can be very overwhelming as a new homeschooling mom or dad to figure out what works for you and your family. And many people are going to say, try this, do this, this is right, this is better, oh no, that's not as good. But really, there's no right or wrong way. Each family is very unique and very different. Each homeschooling day will look very different from family to family. And even over the years, as I said, many homeschoolers change what they're using, and your homeschooling will look very different from when you started. I think the very important thing is to always go back to what your goal is, why you're homeschooling, and then figure it out as you go. Going back to that greenhouse analogy, usually before a gardener plants a garden, he has a layout and a plan. And it really takes a lot of time and trial and error to figure out the best soil and watering system that will help their plant thrive. This is just how homeschooling is. It's going to take a lot of trial and error to figure out what works best for your child and what's going to help them thrive in homeschooling. And so I highly recommend that as a homeschooler, you educate yourself and continue to educate yourself throughout your homeschooling years. It's a good opportunity for you to model to your child that education lasts for a lifetime. A few years ago, my book club read For the Children's Sake. And that's I have a list of books also on this handout for you to get started to learn more about homeschooling. And For the Children's Sake is the first book I read before I started homeschooling. And then I reread the book after 18 years, and I still learn so much. My husband, he's an optometrist, and every 2 years, it's grueling. He has to take 20 hours of continuing education in order to keep his license. Well, homeschooling is my job, and I want to do it well, and I want to give my kids the best, and so I want to continuously educate myself. I recommend reading. Again, I have that reading list. You can listen to podcasts. One of my favorite ones is delectableeducation.com, which helps you start off with Charlotte Mason homeschooling if that's what you're interested in. You can also join a mom study or book club. And spend time going to homeschool park days, trying to pick the brains of the homeschooling moms and figuring out what works and what doesn't work for them. All of this, you will find, will be an investment for your kids. Okay, I've told you a lot right now. So I'm going to pause, and I'm going to let you think about what's one or two things that you just heard right now that you want to remember. And turn to your neighbor, please, and share with them what those one or two things are. Wow, I didn't think everyone was going to be so engaged. Okay, I'm going to continue now because I have a couple more things I want to go through with you. But maybe you can go continue this conversation with your neighbor after the talk. This is great. So just for your information, this is kind of how I homeschool. I usually read a book to my child. A book that's interesting and engaging, and then I have them retell it to me, because when they go through that process in their mind, it kind of stamps it in their brain. So I spent a lot of time trying to tell you guys a lot of information, and I didn't want you to forget it, so that's why we did that. It's called narration. Okay, how about socialization? That's always the big question for homeschooling, right? What about socialization? Well, let me tell you, once you step into the homeschooling world, you will find that there are lots of opportunities for socialization. I recommend that you start off with homeschool park days. Again, on our SKI website is a resource list of support groups throughout Southern California. I think there's one in Northern California as well. And many, many years ago, when I first started helping out in the conference, my job was to gather this list for our homeschoolers, our new homeschooling moms. And this was before the internet, so that's how old I am. And I had to pick up the phone, and I had to call homeschooling mom after homeschooling mom. I think I had 50 on my list, and ask, do you have park days? When do you meet? How often do you meet? What are other activities you do? And I compiled that list for our homeschool conference. And I did it because I knew, for me back then, without the internet, it was hard to find a Catholic homeschooling family. I started off with Protestant homeschoolers. And once I found the Catholic homeschool group, I was so relieved and I was so thankful. So now you can find a Catholic homeschool group by just looking at our SKI website. We have many on there. And if you live somewhere remotely and you can't find a group, I recommend to start one on your own. And soon you're going to find that there are other homeschoolers around you. Or maybe you can convert some people to homeschooling. Field trips, that's another way that your kids can socialize. Many places like museums, amusement parks, they offer field trips for homeschoolers. you can just call in, and they have sometimes they have homeschool days with group discounts. On that handout, I listed two online support groups that we have. One is the Inland Empire Catholic Homeschoolers. It's a groups.io that you can join. Or the North Orange County Catholic Home Educators, another groups.io. And usually on there, we have listings of field trips. And hopefully this year, there will be more than there were last year. There's also a lot of homeschool classes, in-person classes, that you can join. One, some are co-ops, such as the Chino Hills Co-op or the Noche Co-op. That's North Orange County Catholic Home Educators. And they meet weekly or bi-monthly. They're also on our SKE website. There's a homeschooling dad named Todd Nash who has been offering PE classes for many, many years. And he has a website called California Athletics. And he has several locations throughout Southern California. If you're interested in music lessons, choir, band, and orchestra, there's Orange Coast Musical Arts or Foothill Musical Arts, and I believe they have a representative here today. I know Jesus's wife was a choir director for Orange Coast Musical Arts for many years. And my daughter, the past couple of years, had the opportunity to be a piano accompanist for Foothill Musical Arts. And they have 10 locations throughout Southern California. So there are many, many opportunities for homeschooling families to find socialization with other homeschoolers. Now I want to give you the top 6 reasons why I think homeschooling is good. Number 1. Homeschooling is a lifestyle that allows for more family time and prayer time. Usually, elementary school age kids don't have homework at night. In our home, kindergarten, formal schooling for kindergarten, lasts for about 1 hour. Younger elementary school kids usually finish before noon, and older elementary school kids and junior high kids usually finish around 2 to 3. Again, after this, there's no homework, and we have time to spend together as a family, to pray, play games together, read a good book together, or go to our sports practices together. Also, since many of us don't get up early enough at 8 o'clock to start school, we have the option, instead of starting school, we also have the option to attend daily Mass and offer our homeschool day to Jesus. And this is the beautiful thing about homeschooling. Another reason why I think homeschooling is good is because it allows families to be spontaneous. In that book, For the Children's Sake, it says, life is short and sunny moments need to be snatched. Well, here in California, it's not sunny moments. We get lots of sunny moments. It's those snowy days that we need to catch and take advantage of. One Friday after a big snowstorm, we stopped homeschooling and we closed our books. And we took off to Wrightwood, up to the mountains. And my kids, as I was practicing, said, don't forget, we invited Grandpa too. And we did. It was so much fun. We had a wonderful time. It was like a winter wonderland up there. And the trees were laden with snow, filled with icicles. And we had a great time with Grandpa. And the guy at the store said, if you waited till this weekend, you wouldn't have this good of a time because you would be stuck in traffic and the place would be packed. So because of homeschooling, we had that opportunity to have that precious and memorable time as a family and with Grandpa. Homeschooling allows me to have time to read aloud to my kids. This is important to me because I think that good literature is a highly effective but subtle way to instill virtue and character in our children. I still read to my high schoolers. In fact, yesterday we sat down and we read The Spear, which is a book by Louis de Waal by Ignatius Press. They might have it in there. It's the historical fictional story of Cassius Longinus. He's the guy who stabbed Jesus on the side while he was on the cross. And it's pretty good. My kids don't want me to put it down. In fact, though, a few months ago, I even read aloud a chapter to my 24-year-old son and my daughter-in-law. This was during COVID, and I was reading Little Women and Little Men to all of my kids. And in Little Women, there's a chapter, I don't know if you're familiar with it, with Meg and her husband, and it deals with parenting. And because my son and daughter-in-law were new parents, I thought, ooh, this is a good opportunity to talk about parenting and how it maybe should be. So, you know, in a subtle way, I just read them the chapter. That's all I did. Luckily, my son, he loves literature. He's a book collector, and he recognizes the value of it. So they sat down and they listened. And after I read to them the chapter, it started a good conversation among all of us, and it helped me to get to know my daughter-in-law better. So my point is that I want to illustrate that it's never too late to read to your children, and read alouds truly help form family bonds. As a homeschooling mom, these are the moments that I really love. And on your handout, I have at the bottom some resources for some good book lists. The fourth reason why homeschooling, I believe, is good is because it keeps kids off of electronics. So many of the public and private schools are requiring to have their textbooks, unfortunately, on the computer instead of having real books. Many of you may be experiencing this with your children, and maybe some of you are struggling with it, or some of you maybe aren't struggling with it at all, and your kids are doing fine with doing their schoolwork on a computer. However, once they're done, they have YouTube, video games, and social media at their fingertips. Of course, it's much more appealing to be on the computer than to read a book, do a handicraft, practice the piano, or play outside, all the things that can increase their human potential. My experience has been that boys develop this addiction to electronics more so than girls. And I go so far as to call it the little devil in our house, because it keeps them from obeying. It takes away from playing with their siblings and all the other things that I mentioned that helps increase their human potential. It's really important to set rules, limits, and filters. If you don't have any, get it today. We have this device called Circle. It's connected to our router, and it allows me with a click of a button to turn off the internet from my phone on any device on our house. Another good filter to have is Covenant Eyes, and which we use with our older children who have phones. Covenant Eyes gives us reports on how well each child does with their phone and will detect any bad websites that their devices have opened. My 20-year-old son got a new phone this year because his old phone broke. And he handed his phone to his dad and he said, "Dad, can you please put Covenant Eyes on my phone?" I know that he isn't doing anything bad. In fact, I would say this particular son is very obedient and has a strong moral life. But the reason why he asked to have Covenant Eyes on his phone is because he spends a lot of time with some of our Norbertine priests here. And these priests hear a lot of confessions, and they know what is happening out there, all the evils and temptation that is out there. And so since my son knows about this, he sees the filter as a protection for him against temptation. So I highly suggest discussing this with your spouse, and it is our duty as parents to protect our children. Okay. Number five. I'm going to start number five off with one of my favorite quotes, and it's by Charlotte Mason, and she said, "The question is not how much does a youth know when he has finished his education, but how much does he care?" I'm going to repeat that. The question is not how much does the youth know when he has finished his education, but how much does he care? Which leads me to another reason why homeschooling is good. Homeschooled kids, especially older ones, they care about their learning. And they are motivated because of their love for knowledge and not for grades. In homeschooling, I give grades only to my older kids. I don't give grades to my elementary students. In fact, I usually start around high school. When schooling is measured, sometimes the love of learning is lost. And instead of grades, what I do is I do homework checks daily for the little ones and weekly for the older ones. And I like to see the quality and see if they've put in the effort. So last but not least, another reason why I think homeschooling is good is because homeschooling has exposed me to many good people and many good families. Those families have been my support through my ups and downs, through my joys and sorrows of homeschooling. I remember 6 years ago when I just had my seventh child, and I was met up with a friend at a homeschool park day, and she asked me, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I am dreading starting school this fall because I am so overwhelmed and I'm so burnt out." And she said she recommended reading Sarah McKenzie's Teaching from Rest, A Homeschooler's Guide for Unshakable Peace. And that's also on your handout. And that changed my homeschooling tremendously. And it's brought me to a point where I'm able to delight and have joy more in my homeschooling. And I'm happy about this because I know that God has called me to homeschooling and He doesn't want me to dread it. He wants me to have joy and delight in it. So before I move on, are there any questions? Yes. Do you mind if we talk about it afterwards? I actually have a mom here that can answer, from St. Joe, who can answer your questions more clearly, better than me. Okay, so if there aren't any, go ahead. Yes, yeah. Do you remember that time I told you when I was burnt out? At that time, what I would do is once the baby was put to sleep, whatever anybody was doing, I would yell out, "Everyone stop what you're doing. We're going to read a book," because that was my favorite part of homeschooling and I wanted to get it done. So we would read during that time. And it just evolves throughout homeschooling. Sometimes I have a homeschooling box or play box that comes out only during homeschooling. And so that little child can play with those toys during that time. But it's challenging. What's that? Or you can wait till your husband's home and do the read alouds then. So it's just a matter, you have to keep talking to other homeschooling moms and find different ways. Everyone has a different way. But pretty soon if you just do it over and over again or give incentives or maybe have a child or older child take turns with that younger child, keeping them busy. I let them color while I'm reading aloud, maybe color with an older child. So, and if you keep it out of your routine, then that child will eventually figure out, oh, this is what we do. Okay. And then they'll soon start retelling and sharing with you the story because they'll start picking it up. You'll see. But there are some books called Morning Time by Cindy Rollins, or another book called Better Together by Pam Barnhill. And those books might give you some ideas as well. So, okay, I need to end my talk soon. Usually at the end of the talk, I invite an older homeschool child to come so that you can ask them questions. But unfortunately, everyone that I thought of was busy today. So I want to share with you what homeschooling can look like when one graduates by reading to you some of the senior accomplishments that were read at our recent homeschool graduation a couple weeks ago. We had 12 seniors graduate, as they received their diploma from their parents, a list of accomplishments was read. And here are just a few. I have four of them here. Sarah. Sarah was a member of the National Honor Society and has been awarded the Golden State Seal of Merit by Sage Oak Charter School. She has been a volunteer puppy raiser and trainer for guide dogs for the blind for 4 years and was awarded second place for the Sage Oak Service Award. Sarah has volunteered with Operation Christmas Child, the Santiago Retreat Center, and the Carmelite Sisters. She has been hired on and trained as lifeguard for the summer of 2021 at a water park in La Mirada. She will be attending Thomas Aquinas College. Teresa. Teresa maintained a 4.0 GPA throughout her high school. In her freshman year of soccer, she was scouted for the Olympic Development Program, and in her junior year was a National Cup finalist. She also, for soccer, was selected to be on the first team All-League CIF. She has volunteered with the Carmelite Sisters, the Norbertine Sisters, and Mother Teresa's Missionary Sisters of Charity. In piano, she has received Level 8 Certificate of Merit and has accompanied for two children choirs and recently was selected to receive the Music Teachers Association Scholarship. She also will be attending Thomas Aquinas College in the fall. Gregory. Gregory has immersed himself in the art of photography throughout his high school years and hopes to pursue it in the future. In his junior year, he found an interest in poetry and discovered a love for writing original poems. Gregory has played soccer for many years and in high school has guest played for various premier club teams. The highlight of his soccer experience was playing as a finalist in the national games in Hawaii. Now he is working at the Upland Sports Arena as an assistant head soccer coach for the Little Kickers Child Development Program. Gregory has also embraced his Mexican roots through currently dancing ballet folklorico and performing for Tradicion Dance Company. Abigail. Abigail graduated from Memoria Press Online Academy's rigorous high school diploma program. Throughout her high school years, she volunteered with Petrus, Carmelite Sisters, and Vox Vitae. She was accepted at Thomas Aquinas College, Christendom College, and Thomas More College, and was awarded a half scholarship in Thomas More's Faith and Reason essay contest. In her sophomore year, she received the Gold Summa Cum Laude Award on the National Latin Exam, and she completed four AP Advanced Placement classes with a score of 5 on the AP Literature Exam. So you can see this is how homeschooling can look like after 12 years. In fact, all of these kids were homeschooled from kindergarten. There are numerous opportunities for homeschoolers. And if you would like to hear a more personal account, they each got to have an opportunity to give a senior speech, and we're going to be posting that on our website soon. Homeschooling is a wonderful and exciting journey. Never forget why you are homeschooling and constantly look at your mission statement and reevaluate it every 6 months or every school year. Don't forget the greenhouse effect that you are trying to create to help your child thrive. Remember to spend time as a family and remember that homeschooling builds relationships, and those are the things that matters the most. If you stick with it, the fruit of homeschooling can be beyond what you imagined. And I know some of you may be nervous or overwhelmed, but I encourage you to just start. Be not afraid, as our homeschool conference theme is this year. Trust that God will guide you. The happiness that God promises certainly knows no limits. And we are told in Galatians chapter 6, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to our children. May God be with you as you discern, or for some of you as you begin your homeschool journey. Thank you.